Let's move on to the next topic of our discussion, which is the third topic, which focuses more on developing cultural competence. Now that we are focusing a lot on culture and developing a culture, please try to understand here, we are understanding the ecosystem of developing a competence, making it as one of the important element where when we say somebody is competent, we are trying to say that somebody is performing with the utmost standards of performance at one particular level is a competence which we all are striving to get into. We are striving to benchmark as a part of our process. And that's the reason talking about developing cultural competence is one of the key elements, which is something we need to start developing at a informal, formal, and at the introduction level, at the entry level. That's the reason if you see as a part of our entire activity, which you see the image of a globe and people around you, here is a mix of all the individuals of different age group, from the junior most to the senior most in the organization and in the entire hierarchy of human mankind as a part of our cultural value system. It is one of the important elements where we discuss about the cultural competence and how to develop a cultural competence framework. The important elements of developing a cultural competence are as under. Point number one, every organization has a culture that consists of policy, procedurals, and processes or processes. Now here, all the to-dos of your industry, all the to-dos of your cultural competence are the important elements of what to do, what not to do. Based on your individual practices, individual thought process, and how we behave as individual in a society are one of the key elements which designs, defines, describes, influences, and being a part of your entire policy, procedures, and processes. Mostly organizations with certain values, certain beliefs, and certain customs are one of the important part of that culture, because here what we belong to. This is what we are described as a part of the ecosystem, which we discussed a while ago as a part of our cultural iceberg discussion, which we did a while ago. As an organization, culture is an evident is in the time, which is currently the time orientation, the perception, and the use of time. Hence, time as one of the important element of your organizational culture is one of the evident factor which focuses on time orientation, perception, and the usage of time. Hence, again, if I go back to my previous slide, here we focused on the culture which is being talked about present, how it was implemented, and what were the learnings from past, and basis on the past learning and the present trends and value system, how we are going to influence the future is what is going to highly dependent and workable from a developing cultural competence point of view. While not all organizations may lend themselves to be culturally being a culture-driven, competent organization, it also focuses a lot on organization with culture, competence, brings together value, and it also talks a lot about the different groups of people and transforms it into a policy and processes that will make everything work in adherence to the cultural competence. Hence, the entire framework of your cultural competence talks about bringing it all together from a different set of people, different set of individuals, different set of groups. And on the basis of these different set, we define and transform these policies and procedures in such a way that we are able to adapt to these policies. We are able to adhere these policies not only from a short-term point of view, but also from a long-term point of view, and obviously a lot of cultural competence which is going to be developed as a part of your learning organization, you will be able to highly influence your cultural competency as a part of your organizational change. Now, there are four levels of cultural competencies which we are focusing upon. One, on the left-hand side, is about the cultural awareness. Then comes on the bottom, your cultural knowledge. Then on the right-hand side, talks about the cultural sensitivity. And then the top on the right-hand side talks about the cultural competence. And that's how the circle, which is a continuous learning process, which is a never-ending circle, focuses on cultural awareness, cultural knowledge, cultural sensitivity, and cultural competence. When I say cultural awareness, we are talking about self-awareness. We're talking about cultural identity. We're talking about how we are getting stereotyping. These are the important elements of cultural awareness. If you are aware, you will be able to understand the cultural competence and take plan action accordingly. The moment I talk about cultural knowledge, it's about my health belief, behaviors. It also talks about the psychology and the biological understanding in which I perceive things. Talks a lot about your cultural knowledge. The moment I talk about cultural sensitivity, it talks the empathy, sympathy quotient from your organizational cultural point of view. It talks a lot about trust. It talks a lot about interpersonal and communication skills, acceptance, approach, respect, barriers to culture sensitivity. These are the important elements you need to understand from a culture sensitivity point of view. Hence, being empathetic is considered to be one of a strong cultural sensitive culture, because here it talks about very high on cultural awareness, very high on your cultural knowledge, very high on your cultural sensitivity, which is defined definitely gonna improve on your cultural competence. Because when I talk about cultural competence, here I'm referring to the assessment skills, the diagnostic skills, the clinical skills, the change element of the entire discussion, and of course, addressing all these prejudices and the discrimination basis on the inequalities. And this is how the complete four cultural competence level is being discussed on this particular slide. Now, there are four levels of cultural competence which we spoke about. The cultural knowledge, that you know about some cultural characteristics, history, values, beliefs, and behaviors of some of other cultures or ethnic group as a part of one big canvas which we are discussing. The cultural awareness here focuses more on, it is the next stage of understanding other groups, being open to idea of change from a cultural attitude point of view. So here the focus is more on your own knowledge. It also focuses more on your awareness, and basis on your cultural knowledge and your cultural awareness, it talks about the cultural sensitivity. How do you behave in such a group, in such that context, that if knowing that the difference exists between culture but not assigning value to the difference, like right or wrong, good or bad. These are some of the sensitive areas where you need to be sensitive from a cultural sensitivity point of view to be able to take a call whether this is the right way of doing it or this is the wrong way which I have approached, so that I need to know and improve my approach. Whether this is a bad way of doing it or a good way of doing it, because in both the way, one thing is common, that if you do something which is not correct, you have a scope for improvement, and basis on the scope for improvement, you can design your line of action from a long-term culture sensitivity point of view. Hence, since the internal conflict can arise, can occur easily in these differences existing, it clearly mentions that culture sensitivity cultural sensitivity at every level focuses very much on the easily occur of the differences which are clearly existing in the organization, and they clearly exist in the right way at every point of time. And hence, culturally sensitive organization work towards activities in such a way that these initiatives are being taken care of, and it also promotes, helps to dissolve these culture and dissolve the elements which is gonna help the organization to prevent such conflict which are being arising from the cultural sensitivity, which clearly impacts your long-term process. Cultural competence is an organization which brings many behaviors, attitude, and policies into the ecosystem, into your system, that works effectively in cross-cultural setting of things which will be promoting to work towards operational effectiveness and produce better outcome. Hence, the combination of cultural knowledge, cultural awareness, cultural sensitivity, all these four parameters put together will improve your culture competency, which is going to help you to be a more competent organization from a long-term point of view. Now, being importance element of being a cultural competent is one of the elements which we're going to discuss in detail. We all are connected through the increasing globalization of communication, trade, and labor practices. Change is one of the important element of this entire discussion, and hence change is that one part of the world that affects everybody, every people, everywhere in the organization. Considering your increased diversity and interconnected problems with working together seem to be the best strategy for accomplishing your goal. So if you're able to marry your point number one, point number two, point number three put together, you will be connected through a increasing, ever-developing global population from a communication point of view, from a trade point of view, from a business point of view. And of course, considering the international HRM as a practice, we focus a lot on global labor practices. And that's the reason it is very important that you are culturally competent to be able to understand what is not happening good in the global culture. Basis on that, identify your areas of improvement which you need to focus, and definitely basis on the input of improvement, you need to design your competency which are culturally competent from a long-term per se. At the same time, when we're talking about the changes in the part which are, you know, overall world as an organization which is being affected by people everywhere, if there is something which is a global challenge, friends, you need to ensure that we are competent enough to the ever-changing cultural competent culture. When I say culturally competent culture, I am referring to every individual who is a part of my ecosystem. And hence we say people and everybody in the organization are highly influential, they are highly competent only if they are able to understand how culturally competent we are. Considering that a lot of diversity and interconnected problems are evolving around with the entire global coming into one single workplace, we need to ensure that we are able to accomplish our goal both from a short-term and both from a long-term point of view, to be able to understand that how important is today one of the element of being a culturally competent person. Because of social and economical change is becoming very fast and fast and faster day by day, organization today clearly need to understand the need of a cultural competence. Today, many studies have shown, they have proven the result that new entrants to the workplace, definitely is going to impact the communities, which is increasingly day by day. There are multiple elements which are highly influential, more from a people of color, from different colors, immigrants, women, all genders. Particularly, there are a lot of elements because of the differentials between the birth rate and the immigration patterns. Based on the patterns, we are able to understand how culturally competent we are as an organization. Based on your immigration pattern, you can design your strategy in such a way that you can clearly define the policy which is positive long-term from a cultural competent policy point of view. Lot of element is being discussed upon the increased respect and mutual understanding among these people who are involved as a part of our learning process. Increase the creativity in problem solving and through new perspective, ideas and strategies. Decrease the unwanted surprises that might slow down the overall progress. Increased participation and involvement of other group, cultural groups. Increased trust and cooperation. So these are the byproduct of any policy which is very, very important from being a cultural competent organization. And hence, these are the byproduct which are going to design your policy purely from a mutual respect point of view, from an increasing participation, from a problem solving point of view, being very progressive, understanding all the perspective, understanding the ideas, understanding the strategies. And definitely, if you do this, this is going to definitely decrease the unwanted surprise element, because any surprise which is new for you is going to slow down your entire progress, and it is going to help you to overcome your limitation, because at the end, increased participation, increased involvement into your cultural group definitely is going to increase the overall trust and cooperation within the organization. And hence, the concept of increased mutual respect, understanding people who are involved in the entire decision-making process, appreciating fresh perspective, new ideas and strategies which are being discussed openly, and promoting the value of innovation and culture, at the same time, having a minimal decreased unwanted surprise which may come to you as a last minute element which will slow down your process. These are few important parameters we need to understand and appreciate, because you need to be very clear that the importance of being a culturally competent human resource participant is one of the key elements which increase the trust and the cooperation within the organization. At the same time, such attributes also helps us to overcome the fear of mistake, competition, or conflict. For example, for any instance, understanding and accepting many cultures, everyone is more likely to feel comfortable, more comfortable, in generally less likely to be more feeling the urge to overlook the look over their shoulder, and to be sure that being inappropriate in majority terms. Here, what we are trying to refer is the fear of overcoming mistake, the fear of competition, the fear of conflict. These are the important elements which will come as a part of the entire culturally competent culture. When I say culturally competent pattern, what I'm referring to is here people will help each other to be able to overcome the fear of mistake, overcome the fear of competition, overcome the fear of conflict. And that's the reason when there is a high level of understanding between the organization, between the individuals, and accepting this culture in A highly competitive world is something which we all need to be more comfortable to be able to being talk about this culture as a part of your day-to-day conversation, and hence such things should be a point of discussion, because such things are one of the appropriate terms we need to understand from a majority term point of view. Now let's focus on how to create a culture, which is how do you create a culturally competent organization. Here the focus is more on the vision and the context of the entire topic. Here we are involve and include people from all culture in the process of developing vision of for the organization. Here the important element as a part of my vision and context setting practice is I involve everybody who is involved, included in the entire discussion of culture, because here in this process we are developing the vision of my organization. The moment I say vision, you should be able to clearly define what exactly are the next step which we are going to incorporate as a part of my vision and context setting. Generally, members of culturally competent organization do not approach fellow members with stereotypical attitude, or generally emphasizes on the entire people based on an experience to other person. Here we are referring to an entire member, the entire association, where they do not refer to only one particular person or one particular member. We are focusing on overall organization, and hence we do not stereotype them typically basis on their attitude, basis on their attitude, basis on their perception, and of course the typical stereotypical approach purely from the attitude point of view is one of the elements you need to take care from an entire people based organization to one another. How do you create a cultural competent organization? Here the most important approach focuses on the recruitment and the outreach. Here, when I say recruitment, it is hiring the right resource with the right talent at the right time. Hence, including diverse group of people from your community at the organizational inception is one of the important element which we need to discuss upon from a recruitment and outreach point of view. This will minimize the overall, the real or the perceived tokenism patterns and the patternism and inequality among people who join later. Hence, anybody who has joined your organization, who is already there in the system, is well versed about the cultural competency of your organization which we are referring to. Hence, if you know somebody who is already a part of the system, who's already worked with you, who's exposed to the culture in past, would be able to easily adapt to the new culture. But in case if there are patterns which are gonna focus more on the perceived tokenism, on more from a paternalism, more from an inequality point of view, these are few of the attributes, few of the elements which we need to understand, because many of them may join the organization at a later stage. Focusing on this, you also need to develop and use the ground rule that establishes the norms, the shared norms, reinforce and constructive respect, conduct and protect against damaging the behavior. Hence, you need to develop the ground rules so that people from all categories are promoted as an equal opportunity organization, wherein we not only are culturally competent as an organization, but from my organization recruitment and outreach point of view, I am also somebody who is helping me and my organization to be a part of the entire ecosystem, which is going to develop the ground rule, which will help me to establish, share norms, reinforce constructive feedback, and respect, mutual respect between the people who are there as a part of my talent and culture, and also we protect against the damaging behavior. Encourage and help people to develop qualities such as patience, empathy, trust, tolerance, and non-judgmental attitude are one of the key promoters when we talk about the recruitment and outreach approach. Hence, if you are somebody who is full of patience, who at the same time understand patience as a concept, are empathetic as your decision-making power, and are empathetic naturally as a part of your trust-building activity, and they are tolerant, at the same time, your non-judgmental attitude is one of the key elements which will help you to develop your recruitment and outreach process. And these are the important parameters we need to perceive as a part of our international human resource management topic, because this will help you to encourage and people to participate more, and it will help you to develop the qualities of being more patient, empathetic, trust, tolerance, and non-judgmental attitude. Now let's understand, how do you culturally competent, how do you create a organization which is culturally competent organization? That's the reason diversity training is one of the important element, because when I say diversity, I am referring to all gamut of my organization. I need to not miss not a single approach, not a single person, not a single process policy which focuses on developing diversity as a part of my cultural sensitivity. Hence, diversity training is one of the important element on how to create a culturally competent organization. As a culturally competent organization, you need to focus a lot on diversity training. The moment I say diversity, please do not focus only one particular segment. Gender is just one of the element. There are so many other elements within your culture, within your diversity, you need to focus upon. And hence, becoming aware of a cultural diversity of the organization is one of the important element. You need to try to understand that all the dimension and seek the commitment of all those people who are involved to nurture a cultural diversity environment as a part of my organizational culture. Hence, we need to ensure that all the genders, all the diversities, all the people with different race, with different culture, with different patterns, with different individualities, with different perception about what they feel about the organization publicly, what they feel about themselves individually, all these parameters need to be taken into consideration when we talk about diversity training. If you need to train your employees, you need to ensure that you are creating that sensitivity within your employees, within your organization, so that in turn, from a long-term perspective, you are able to take care of your culturally competent organization. And hence, diversity training is one of the important elements as a part of addressing the myths, the stereotypes, and the cultural differences that interface with a full contribution of member. For example, as a part of my board meeting, wherein I want to promote all genders of the organization, I see out of 10 board members, 2 board members are female and 8 board members are male. That's the reason, if you see, it's completely a male-dominant stereotype organization. Hence, from a balanced point of view, try to have a representation of all genders. When I say all genders, please don't restrict yourself only to male and female. There are other genders also who are equally important as a part of my diversity training, as a part of my organizational culture, because I'm talking here about how to create an culturally competent organization. Now, how do you create a culturally competent organization? Please do keep in your mind. Look at the screen. There's a big question mark. Diversity training are typically one-time event. If you see, this is a common myth, a common perception, and a common practice which most of us are do. For example, I need to create a gender sensitivity between my organization, between my people. So doing a one-time activity as a part of my yearly event, more from a check-in-the-box approach, is something which we all common mistake being done by each one of us. Hence, rather than doing program more from a check-in-the-box point of view, please ensure you develop, you conceive, at the same time, you produce more number of programs by involving everybody as a part of my diversity training. And these are not only one-time event. These has to be continuous in nature. Please do keep your monthly and yearly activities. At the same time, please keep on pushing your elements of discussion from a cultural sensitivity and from a culturally competent organization as one of the key elements where you focus on these activities, not only on weekly, monthly, yearly, but also have series of follow-ups pushing up more on addressing these issues at local and international level. These trainings alone will not change a person's behavior or a staff's behavior or an organizational practice. A series of such patterns, a series of such activities put together will help you to craft your culture element more from a organizational competent, culturally competent organization. That's the reason these are not one-time activities. These are series of practice, series of behavior, series of personal attributes which is going to help the organizational practice. It is equally important to have other strategies that will reinforce and sustain behavior and the policies at the change level. Hence, these are one of the key elements which you need to focus upon so that we are able to reinforce this behavior, sustain this behavior, and at the same time, we can design this in such a way that the policy changes in a positive way from a long-term perspective so that you are able to drive the diversity training not from a one-time activity point of view, but from a long-term and continuous cultural competent organization point of view so that you are not stuck only one particular set of behavior. Now let's focus upon how do you create a culturally competent organization. Organizational culture and organizational structure and operating procedure are one of the elements which we are going to discuss in little depth. So here on the left-hand side, we see create system that ensures equity in voice, equity in responsibility, and equity in all the visibility for the group. So here we are not restricting ourselves only to one particular set of people, one particular set of responsibility, or one particular visibility in the entire group. Here, while yes, we all are part of different ecosystem, different groups, we one as a one team need to ensure that we are creating the ecosystem in such a way that all our points, our voice is heard. At the same time, you are respected from a diversity point of view. The usual hierarchy which a group or a leader takes the charge may create a power equity, a power inequity. So create a decision making structure in such a way that it will, which will at all culture groups have a voice at all level. Hence, we don't restrict ourselves to a mid-level, high-level, down-level, individual level, group level. At all level, you need to ensure that as a group leader, as a leader of your hierarchy, you are able to take care of everybody, and hence we say we need not do anything which is only centric to one set of people, one set of hierarchy, or one set of power equation. It has to be equally distributed between all of us, because at the end, we as an organization need to ensure that we are able to consider all our value system, all our voices, all our difference of opinion positively, and then on that basis, we can typically have the hierarchy purely from a top leader to the bottom person in the entire hierarchy, because at the end, the entire hierarchy need to respect the value proposition, need to understand that all these individuals are an integral part of my entire ecosystem, and hence organizational structure and the operating procedure are one of the key elements as a part of my competent organization. It is also finding way to involve everyone using different kinds of meeting, such as dialogue, by phone, by email, by mail. Here, introducing different communication styles, communication technique is also one of the important elements, because when you have a dialogue as a part of your conversation, maybe face-to-face conversation, telephonic conversation, conversation over emails, conversation over different kind of written communication or different patterns within your organization are some of the key elements which will help you to create a culturally competent organization.